I'm Sheldon Brown on Mental Health Radio. Take it from us, and that's our theme music from Sarita Murdoch's Many Lines. It's from the Soul Project, a CD created as a way to decrease stigma and discrimination towards mental illness. And our guests today, I believe, are all champions of countering stigma and discrimination, particularly in creativity in the arts. So today we focus on performing arts events staged for Mental Health Awareness Week, which began yesterday and runs through to Saturday, October the 16th. Much of what we will address on Take It From Us today is about performing arts and creativity. A range of events, a really exciting events, a program very ambitiously put together with different goals but with one theme. And that theme is mental health and well-being. In the studio today are Boni Te Rongapai Tukuwaho, who uses the arts as tools for empowerment, joy and dignity. With him, Charu Delican. Have I got that right?
Delican. Yeah.
Who wears many hats and operates a company called Charu Loves Hats. Charu is a freelance producer, arts publicist and marketer. And here again today is the CEO of Changing Minds, Tammy Allen, a regular on Take It From Us, a performing artist and producer herself, and a behind-the-scenes mental health mentor for many of this week's events.
Great to
have you here. So we'll start with Tammy and Boni to explain the schedule of events happening over the next 5 days.
Great. Well, it's already kicked off to fantastic start. Last night we launched Whāriki Haora, which is the performing arts initiative that we've put together with a whole group of people in the performing arts that were really concerned about the mental well-being of some people working in it. We lost a few people in the last year taking their own lives, and there was a real concern that we do something really practical about it. So we launched this initiative, which gives counselling sessions. And we had a packed out audience full of people from the industry, actors, producers, directors, and it went really well. So, you can find more about Whāriki Haora and how you can contribute to that. So,
Tammy, there's a recognition that this is an issue among performing artists, that there is a high degree of stress. And I think it would be worthwhile just to quickly saying why there is this stress. I mean, I understand that there are work conditions, it's in the profile, in the spotlight a lot.
Yeah, we touched on it briefly last week, didn't we, Sheldon? But basically, it's a very fickle industry, isn't it, guys? Yeah. You know, it's not stable. Sometimes you've got work and that's fantastic, and sometimes you don't. There's a whole lot of It's not only a financial pressure, but it's also kind of, it digs deep into your soul of self-worth as to whether you're working or not working, and then being able to explain that outside. And then, of course, when you are working, you're open to immense criticism, which is, part and parcel of being a performer. Yeah, some people like your work and some don't.
Charu, Boni, do you feel this personally?
I think this industry in particular attracts people who open themselves, to be a part of this music industry, performing arts. You really need to be authentic. You open yourself up to everything that's around you. So it attracts people who have all of those sensibilities, and therein lies, it kind of carries on to the spaces that Tammy was just touching on, that, erratic work, the type of work we're doing, how people perceive you, how you perceive yourself, all of those things contribute to what can bring people backwards. And when I say backwards, I mean looking judgment on yourself, judgment on each other, all of those kind of things.
And then, of course, there's that additional layer of being in the public face, in the public eye, which means that people are less likely to talk about problems when they exist, because you have to put on this perfect mask of things being great and well. And
I think as a producer, because that's more, I suppose, a behind the scenes role, I could speak to the people who actually work behind the scenes because it has happened behind the scenes as well. Mm. People working in tech and, you know, in the stage side, management side of things. And I think it can be quite, especially if you're freelance, it can be quite a lonely path that you go down, because it's only you going out there trying to get the work. And quite often, specifically as producers, you work on something for 2 or 3 years without getting any compensation, and sometimes never get compensation. So it is, in terms of that financial gain, and also to be able to tell people I'm working on something that's really cool. And sometimes you can't even tell them
because
it's a secret.
And then the pressure of getting people along to the final event you've been working for 2 years on.
Well, right, there's always that doubt, isn't there, as to how many people are turn up on the first night, on the opening night.
Well, because people don't trust either. They don't trust it until they see it. You know, seeing is believing for a lot of people until they can touch it, feel it, see it, hear it, all of those kind of things. So a lot of the things that we've been doing recently are brand new. They haven't existed. And when things don't exist, you're working twice as hard to allow them to open up for other people without actually making it look like you're working twice as hard. And that's just as an example, you know. But there are people out there that kind of it will affect them a lot stronger than it does, I imagine, us, because we have each other.
Absolutely.
And it's really important to us, sorry Sheldon, that we make sure that this is reaching everyone in the performing arts. I mean, we sit here as maybe actors and producers, but you know, Sharo, you wear many hats, and we all wear, and we, if you're working in the creative space, often you're not just one role. And so the radio show that we're doing live today, so if you jump in your car now and go down to Tipo Theatre on Portage
Road. Keep listening to Take It From Us while you're driving.
Yeah, that's right, while you're driving there. But if you jump in the car right now and head to Tipo Theatre at 44 Portage Road, we have got a lineup of 6 panellists that are going to be live in the studio in the next 20 minutes or so, that are talking to all the performing arts and how it affects their well-being. So we've got Sia Trockenheim from Step Dave talking about acting. We've got Caitlin Smith, singer and songwriter, fabulous jazz musician Caitlin, who's talking about the music industry. We've got Mark Scott from Improv Bandits talking about comedy. We've got Rosetta Allen, that's just won several awards for her new novel, talking about writing and script writing. Bornie's going to be there, and I've particularly asked Bornie to talk about setting up a safe space, a cultural safe space in the performing arts that helps with that. And then we've got Joshua Rainbow, which is talking about youth in the visual arts. So we're really, we think that this week we should be trying to touch all of those creative arts in both supporting the creative arts, but also providing support for people working within them.
And this is mental health support. This isn't just funding support. This is mental health support.
Well, we like to call it well-being support, because it's more than just your mental health.
One of the things that we did with when we were looking at what this festival is, like, I've been lucky enough to work with Tammy for the last few years.
Now, we're talking about the Atterfire Festival here. That's the umbrella name for many of the things that we're going to talk about in this broadcast today.
Exactly. So Atterfire started last year. This year's our first birthday. One of the things that I was very aware of myself when I went into this is I don't have a strong background. Well, I didn't have a strong background in the mental health sector, and I needed to really educate myself and to understand language, engagement, all of those kinds of things from that perspective. I sit well within the performing arts arena. So Atterfire became a tool, in essence. We created it for Mental Health Awareness Week because it seemed like there was nothing available in the same space of time. There was just lots of stuff all over the place that was going on, and that you would have to go onto a website to figure out where those things were.
Bornie, that's been the characteristic of Mental Health Awareness Week for years.
I've been in this
business for 10 years, and there's ad hoc scattered things all over the place, and everybody's trying to promote their own little events, and unfortunately it all sort sort of can fall a bit flat until we brought Tammy into Mental Health Awareness Week and we got some professionalism and some a real impact.
That's awesome.
That, you're right. It has been a problem for many years, and I think that discussion that Bonnie and I had very early on was how do we encompass some of the wonderful things that people are doing under one banner and then promote it as one thing so that people have one place to go and they can find out everything that's going on, which is why we've got, well, I think, 12 events on under the Artify umbrella. So as, you know, the three of us and more, there's a larger team behind us, are working on supporting these projects, finding a venue for them, promoting them, getting people involved in them. But overall, they're projects that these individuals have worked on individually, sometimes for years, and this, the Artify Festival, is the vehicle for which we can promote them all together.
There's a website for Artify Festival so that people listening to our show today could source what we're talking about and confirm it.
There's not a website specifically, but there's a Facebook event page that lists all the events, and you can register on those pages. The other way to look it up is on the Tipo Theatre. Our website is, because that's where all of these main events will be happening, we have it all listed on that website as well.
Right.
So that's tipotheatre.nz.
Dot NZ?
Dot NZ, no code.
Yeah. Cherie, you're being very quiet on my left here. You've got the Black Dog Relief Souls of Solidarity Cabaret. That's one of your productions.
Yep.
And that's part of the Artify Festival. Can you give us some details on the Black Dog Relief?
Yeah, so basically this is the event that's going to be closing the Artify Festival. So B. Tarongapai T, which is Bonnie, and myself, Cherie Loves Hats, we're co-producing this. This is an event that Black Dog Relief was two different shows happened in Auckland and Wellington last year to raise over $8,500 for the Mental Health Foundation. It was called a tribute cabaret for Robbie Tripe, and that was a friend of ours that committed suicide. Mm. So Black Dog Relief is a vehicle to raise funds and to raise awareness in mental health. So this time round, we're raising money for Whare Ki Haora because it's being launched at the beginning of the festival, and we look at it as a good way to bookend the end of the festival and raise money.
All the funds from Black Dog Relief are going towards
all the proceeds.
Whare Ki Haora.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
And what that means is that 100% of any funds that are raised for any event that wants to raise money for Whare Ki Haora means that it will go directly to one-on-one peer support counselling for those in the industry that are really struggling.
And that's being provided by community mental health organisation.
That's right.
Mind and Body.
That's correct.
So there's a real sort of linkage here, isn't there? And I think it feels very comfortable, very effective. Whare Ki Haora is a new fund that you've set up, Tammy, specifically for helping actors with their mental health and well-being.
Yeah, so Whare Ki Haora is, as I said at the beginning, a large group of people from the performing arts industry, and from that comes a steering group of, I think it's six of us, Bonnie? I think six of us across the industry. So we've got representatives from Actors Equity, from Auckland Theatre Company, some independents, and from Mental Health. So together as a group, we decided that one, a charitable fund needs to be set up, but secondly, we don't have the capacity or the confidence to look after the financial part of it. And thirdly, it needed to be an independent charity so that if people were donating to the fund, it's a charitable donation and they can get tax deductions and things. So we're really trying to target people who put on shows in the performing arts industry, perhaps production companies and film companies that might want to donate a proportion of their profits to the charity, and they would be able to get kind of a tax kudos for doing so. And that means it could become sustainable.
Well, let's take a music break. Music obviously is another aspect of creativity, and we've got Supertramp with Bloody Well Right. Thank you.
You're bloody well right. You got a bloody right to say. Right. You're bloody well right. You know you got a right to say. You're bloody well right. You got a bloody right to say. Right. You're bloody well right. You know you got a right to say.
That was bloody well right from Supertramp. We're talking about the sort of umbrella event that is happening during Mental Health Awareness Week called the Atify Festival. And within that, there's a whole lot of tasty ingredients that we're just trying to explain to our listeners. And we were talking to Charu Delican, who wears many hats and did have a wonderfully black hat on, which fitted her whole demeanor this morning. We were talking to Charu about Black Dog Relief, Souls of Solidarity Cabaret. I mean, this must have some very personal investment for you, Charu, given that you knew this person that passed away, had committed suicide last year.
Yes, I think it was not just me, but all of us who worked on that original show. Jennifer Ward Leland, Paul Barrett, the three of us put that particular first one in Auckland together, and then we went to Wellington and worked with another group of people. We had actors who knew Robbie, who sang during the cabaret. So a lot of them weren't singers, but they wanted to be involved, and they had beautiful voices. They just weren't professional singers. And yeah, it was beautiful. Bonnie was involved in the Auckland one, so it's lovely that he's going to be singing again in this one in Auckland. And so in terms of the actual way we're doing it, we've taken the product or the event Black Dog. We're using that as a vehicle to raise money, to raise mental health awareness, as I said earlier. But now we're calling it Souls of Solidarity Cabaret, Souls of Solidarity, whatever the next thing may be, whether it's theatre or comedy, and using that as a vehicle every time I see a need to give some charity to. And so Fariki Haura was the one. So in terms of Black Dog Relief, we've got a whole bunch of, you know, artists that we have managed to get together, including Caitlin Smith, Adam Burrell, Borny Tukiwaho, Alexander Grice, Brady Petey. We just have an amazing group of people that have come together. Everybody's doing everything voluntarily, and all the proceeds go to Whareke Haora.
Do you think that their enthusiasm to participate in these events is somewhat related to the fact that there's a growing awareness that we need to do something about mental health, not only among performing artists, but in New Zealand generally?
Absolutely, and it's very, we've made sure that we have a very varied group of people from different backgrounds and different walks, I mean, not necessarily walks of life, but different kind of areas that they represent, and for the fact that they're involved is great, because it's destigmatizing mental health. Because, for example, like Brady, who I spoke to, he's a Māori man that lives in Wiri, and he's very, very, you know, he says, I've had problems with mental health, and I'm very happy to share this experience with people. And, you know, he's told me that if there was an opportunity, he would talk to any media about that, and it's dispelling that myth, because I think he was saying in his community, to talk about that is not something that's, you know, encouraged or you know, it's basically taboo. So,
well, after 10 years of working in mental health, I've learned that there are some dangers around disclosing.
Yeah.
But I love this phrase, souls of solidarity. I think that's something, Tammy, that could be expanded. It could be a theme in our mental health work, because it just sounds to me like we've got souls who may be a little distressed by mental health, and we could all get together in solidarity.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I guess in some ways that's what you're doing with all these events that you're...
Yeah.
It's all these souls bringing a solidarity to the message.
Absolutely.
And the campaign, and also raising money.
Yeah, and being able to share some stories. I mean, you know, when someone like Brady says, I'm willing to share my stories, he's one of hundreds that I speak to, you know, over the last few years that said, I think I'm ready to tell my story. Mm. But there's always a fear that they're then going to be judged.
Yeah.
And I remember that fear. I remember when I started mental health 11 years ago, I thought, oh, well, we've opened the cupboard doors now. I've got to crawl out of the wardrobe and do this thing. And it's really scary kind of being the poster person for mental health, because what if sometimes we're not having such a great day? You know, how do we still be, it's okay. But in 11 years, I have to say, and I reflected on this yesterday because I did a different interview, but in 11 years of telling my story, and some of it is kind of scary, I've never had really anyone judge me unfairly because of that. I've only really been able to have that solidarity with people. Mm. It allows people to go, I have that too. And now, because you've spoken about your story, I think I'd like to share a little of mine. And it's about connecting. It's about connecting people and bringing them together and saying it's okay to talk about this stuff, you know. More people have this experience than don't.
I guess the only downside is that we never know, you know, if we miss out on a job or we miss out on an acting opportunity, is that because we've disclosed our mental unwellness?
I think we need to get over that, because we're legally protected from those things. We can't legally be discriminated from a job, with, you know, regardless of what industry it is, for our previous history and mental health. So we have to be a little bit braver about disclosure. We have to know what our skills and talents and strengths are and go for the jobs that match those, regardless of what our previous experience has been in our mental health. Because if we start disclosing these things really safely and go, look, these are the experiences I've had, this is what I need to kind of manage that, but I think that it brings value and resilience to my role in this particular job, then I think when we start having these conversations with employers or producers and directors and things, we're going to have more people going, well, that's okay, we value that, and
we grow as people, don't we?
Absolutely.
And I hope that personally I now have a greater understanding about compassion and empathy and respect and those sorts of things that I may not have had 20 or 30 years ago.
I think it's about the conversation in general is evolving. Like the small amount of time that I've been doing this work, it's evolved the conversations I have with people about what it is I'd like to do, how I'd like to approach things, has evolved as well, because, you know, we sit in a sweet spot where we're kind of straddling the mental health industry as well as the performing arts industry. And a year ago, before Artify even existed, having those conversations with people about why you want to do something, you know, what is it in it for you, is what people would normally think. What are you getting out of it? Yeah. And it's got nothing to do with that at all. Those conversations, in my opinion, are changing. And that's because, in my belief, what it is, the conversation itself is evolving. Mm-hmm. People, the conversation is being normalized. So it's safer to talk about it. So people are able to go, oh, okay, that's a thing now. It exists. Mm. Whereas I think, when I first started, it was almost like well-being didn't exist. Mm. It existed over there.
Yeah, you work that stuff out yourself. We don't want to know about that.
Yeah. And that kind of seems to be getting closer and closer to people's vernacular. Mm. And I think that's what's shifting, in my opinion.
Yeah,
I think you're right, Bonnie, because the thing is that people are actually talking.
Mm.
The conversations are happening. And we don't necessarily have to be in that arena of working in mental health and well-being to be brave enough to talk about it, because it's every day, as you say, vernacular.
So. I guess the acceptance of talking about having a conversation around mental health often depends on what the person's experience has been of mental health themselves, and whether they've been let down by somebody who has had or has a mental health problem. And so their suspicions, their antenna is more sort of resistant.
Yeah. Which is why it's even more important to talk about it, because if they have a negative experience of someone that's had mental health issues, it's about opening up that experience and going, that's one experience.
Yep.
So let's talk about what it is that went wrong in that situation, because 9 times out of 10 that situation could have been prevented if they knew about it earlier. When I speak to employers, when things go wrong, it's about, we didn't know, so therefore the conversation needs to happen. We're afraid, so what are you afraid of? We're afraid that if people disclose, they won't be able to do their job properly, they'll have more sick leave, there'll be more attrition, etc., etc.
Or they won't get the job.
Or they won't get the job. No, we're talking about from an employment perspective, though. But actually, as an employer, and I am an employer, I value that experience, because if we can kind of nut down what it is that you need to do your job to the best of your ability, then the resilience you build from having these experiences makes you a better employee from my perspective.
Well, we really sidetracked. We've gone down
employment
a complete different path. Bonnie, you were going to give us a little bit more information about some of the other events that are occurring during Mental Health Awareness Week, which, and past it slightly, Mental Health Awareness Week runs from the 10th to the 16th.
Yeah, well, one of the things I want to say too, I think the approach for Artify, because of what we were just speaking to about the challenges that people have, if you have lived experience, or also there's the people who are supporting people with lived experience, you know. So one of the aims was to look at what was celebrating people's negotiations through their issues, as opposed to looking at what was keeping people there. Do you know what does that make sense?
Celebrating their advance towards recovery and wellness.
Yeah, well, one of the things I think in general we as humans tend to do is we look behind us to see, we look ahead of us and we go, we've got to attain that thing that's way, way over there. And we don't look behind ourselves, because when we do, we look and go, oh, I haven't got very far. Instead of turning around and going, look at all the things that I've done to get this far.
Yeah.
Look at all the things I've achieved to be able to create the solid channel that has allowed me to be in the space that I'm at. So it's about changing that perspective as well. Mm. You know, it's about changing how far away that thing is about in front of us and looking at what we've actually attained and what we've actually created. Mm. And so I think that's one of the things when I created Artify and worked with Tamie to figure out how it could work, one of the things I wanted to do was look at what this is for us as a society, as people, and how can we make this happen so that it was a celebration as well as education? Because I needed education, and I knew that, and a lot of my friends who are in the performing arts industry, wonderful people with lots of empathy, but what we all had a tendency to do was let off fireworks. Something would happen and go, oh, we need to do something, let off the fireworks. But because we didn't have the education or the understanding, we'd just let off the fireworks and then it would drop after that. So the idea was to look at how can we create a space that allowed us to be educated, celebrate those negotiations, and use performance as celebration. So that's kind of where Atafai came from. Last year was a lot more rigid because it was the first one. My brain was rigid as well, and I was like, oh, it has to be education, it has to be performers, it has to be very specific. But I think a lot of that was so that I could get my head around it. This year it's evolved a lot more. We've done a lot more work, Tammy and I and Sharu. We've, like I said, the conversations have opened up. So this year, the rigidity around the festival itself, the only rigid thing is it's still representing Mental Health Awareness Week. One of the biggest things that it's evolved is Changing Minds has come on board a lot stronger now to help Atafai become a larger umbrella for those in the arts so that we can spread the word. This year, instead of it being only education and only performance, we've engaged with a few people that come from different angles of well-being. So we've got Susan Haldane, who has a company called Mind Over Manner, and she works with people with cognitive difference, and she uses performance. So she has actors that come in and create scenarios for people who live with people with autism, those types of things, and see how they can work through their life stories. So partners of people who have cognitive difference, families, people who have lived experience. So she has all these different types of workshops. And so hers is kind of a slash workshop slash performance space. And this year she wanted to represent that four times, which is amazing. So she has four spaces. On the Monday, yesterday she had two. There's one on Tuesday evening and one on Thursday evening. And she wanted to do...
So one tonight,
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And so she wanted to do evenings for people who... were working, and then just during the day, so people could have a difference.
Is there a cost to those workshops?
There is. There's a cost for people who are part of the mental health industry. So, but if you're a, which you'll find on the Facebook page, all those, all that listing. If you are actually like a family member or someone who's living with that, it's a koha only.
Wonderful.
So she's allowing that to be accessible to everybody.
Warnie, we'll just take another music break and come back to the events that are occurring during Mental Health Awareness Week. And we've got Supertramp as our group today, and our next track is Take the Long Way Home. is Mental Health Radio. Take it from us, I'm Sheldon Brown, and I hope we're not taking the long way home to explaining the Addify Festival, because it is quite a complex interlinking series of events running during Mental Health Awareness Week from the 10th of October through to the 16th, and even past that, because there is a performance of Mockingbird on the 12th.
Yeah, that's tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night.
And it's followed by a forum on the themes that Mockingbird addresses, so postnatal depression, depression in general, mental health, the generational distress, things like that.
Yeah, so this is really quite a new dimension that when we go to the theatre, we have the opportunity to, if there are any triggers. And I saw Mockingbird last week. It's an absolute gem.
Isn't it fantastic?
Just wonderful. Lisa Brickell's performance is just amazing. And she certainly...
And Sarah McCombie, what a
as well. Yeah. The two of them together are just wonderful. So that's Mockingbird. That's going to be at Tapo Theatre at 6.30 at 44 Portage Road. That's Wednesday the 12th.
Sorry, Sheldon. It's 8 p.m.
8 p.m. tomorrow.
8 p.m. Yep. 8 p.m. Yep. All the other shows at the basement were 6:30. 8 p.m. I really, really strongly urge you to get along to that. Mm. And Lisa was on Take It From Us, and we talked about the importance of introducing some fun into mental health. Mm. And boy, does Mockingbird do that.
Sure does, doesn't it?
Takes the comic swipe at psychiatric system.
That's right. Yeah, oh, look, my two favourite shows this year have been Mockingbird and Shot Bro for the same reasons. They're really powerful, strong and scary message told up in a parcel where you're falling to the floor laughing. It's wonderful vehicle.
Mm. Comedy.
So we're talking, Bornie, about just one or two other events as part of this umbrella, Addify Festival, and we need to spell Addify out, A-T-A-W-H-A-I. They have their own Facebook page. And so, Bornie, you're going to tell us a little bit more.
Yeah, I will. Just quickly, too, Addify translates to kindness and generosity, which is why last year we settled on that name, because Māori is one of those languages, like one word encompasses lots of English words, but that's the basis of it, kindness and generosity, which actually is a great umbrella to live under, I think. Mm. All of these events will be on our Facebook page. The other thing that we do have besides Susan Haldane is Caitlin Smith, which is a big shout out to Caitlin, because she pretty much is in everything this week.
She's amazing.
She's incredible. She's donated her time to just give the awareness, and what she's doing on the Friday morning and Saturday mid-morning is she's going to have two vocal workshops. One is aimed at mainly vocal work for songwriters or new beginners, everybody. And the second one is looking at what does songwriting mean. Both of these she's doing as a koha as well. So she's giving her time basically for what you can afford to be able to come along to, which is incredible.
And someone who's trained people like Nijin Mystic and who's the other most amazing person that she's trained? I can't remember.
We'll give Tammy a little bit of time to think about it.
But I mean, for someone who of that calibre to be doing vocal workshops for, you know, the generally interested people for a koha is an incredible opportunity.
And just, you know, just to, for everyone to understand that the workshops just aren't really about the work. It's about accessing what your joy within that work is, which again is for well-being, you know. It's joy is one of those things where we always try to attain to. One of the personal things that we events we have this week is our spoken word evening, which is on Friday evening, and the doors will open at 6:30 and starts about 7. Our spoken word evening is called Our Truth. Personal because it's a year, like I've said before, it's our first birthday, and one of my friends, Michelle Drury, was one of the people who helped to bring spoken words to this festival and another festival that we worked alongside with, and we lost her this year. So this first birthday for Atafai and our work together is actually also a memorial for her. Well, for me, from a personal point of view, is to honour her as well. So our truth is going to be one of those really, I feel, beautiful moments, because we've decided to move the day. We're looking at truth as how people can still share their stories and look at what celebrating being here is. So we've got, again, Caitlin Smith, who's going to be on that evening, and some really, really beautiful spoken word poets, like Colleen Henry, who's just come from MIT. She's just a little powerhouse. Isla Selwyn, Rhea Masai, Miriam Barr. So we've got a really lovely lineup.
Well, we know Miriam. We know Miriam Barr from mental health circles. She worked with Tammy, who we've got in the studio today. She's certainly a powerhouse in mental health. And
sure is.
Has gone on to do her own PhD. So
Dr. Miriam Larson Barr now.
Dr. Miriam Larson Barr, yeah.
So. Sorry about it, Doctor.
Right. Well, let's move to Sheru, because you're going to give us some more details about Black Dog Relief, the Souls of Solidarity Cabaret.
Yeah, so that's the last event for the Atafai Festival that Bonnie was introducing. And in terms of that particular event, again, Caitlin Smith is in that show with us, so that's a good segue to talk about it. And basically, it's on October the 15th, which is the Saturday at 7:30 at Tapau. It's a one-night-only show, so and they're very, very limited seats. And I tell you that this is true, because we're doing a cabaret style. We're taking all the seating block out, and we're making the theatre very interesting, accessible, and
intimate.
So we won't have our usual, you know, 90-something seater.
Isn't there something wonderful about these intimate little theatres like where Mockingbird performed at the Basement? I mean, it got hot and clingy and sweaty in there, you know.
Yeah, Tapau's not quite like that. It's a lot more open and lovely space.
But the way it's going to be set up, or at least that's what our vision is until we do it, we won't be able to tell you. But the actual theatre itself, people will be able to enjoy the show at different parts of the room. It won't be just your, you know, proscenium straight show that you're watching. So it will be feeling, getting involved, just being part of the whole thing. So we're really excited.
This brand of Black Dog, of course, is very big in Australia, isn't it? They have the Black Dog Institute there.
That's right.
It's a bit like our Nutters Club in spearheading, I suppose, awareness for mental health.
Well, it's certainly the analogy for depression, isn't it? Black Dog all around the world. And at that point, I'd like a little shout out to James King, who's currently recovering in hospital and is unwell, but where there's a lot of love going out to him. He created an entire series around Black Dog in his visual art, which is fabulous as well.
And he had a retrospective exhibition at Toi Ora not so long ago. I was privileged enough to be able to buy one of those, not the one of the Black Dog one, but a sunset.
Well, I visited Mary O'Hagan and Sarah McCookier in Wellington recently, and I saw one of James King's Black Dog works on the wall, and it was great. It's everywhere.
They were all thinking of James as somebody who's very creative, artistic, and a great broadcaster as well. He puts me in the shade most Tuesdays.
So, also, just going back to Black Dog Relief, I just wanted to say that we're very happy to be part of the Atafai Festival, because I believe that now, this year round, we're able to access those tools, the education that Bonnie was talking about, which we felt was missing in the initial model that we did, but because it was done out of love and almost like a knee-jerk reaction to what happened, we didn't have the time to have all those elements around us. Now we find that with Atafai talking to Bonnie, it will be great, because people were coming up to us and going, okay, we're feeling frustrated. It's not me that has it, but maybe my friend has
it.
What can I do? And we didn't have that pathway to be able to give them that information. So I feel that it's just such an amazing complement to that actual event.
So the funds that are going to be generated from the Black Dog Relief Cabaret, they're going to go to Whariki Haora.
Absolutely.
And that fund is going to be able to finance peer support specialists from Mind and Body to support performing artists that have some mental health challenges.
Yeah, to give them counselling.
Yeah, I guess it's not exactly counselling, is it? Peer support.
It's slightly different. I mean, they're qualified to the same level as counsellors, so mental health level 4 tertiary qualification. However, the difference is that they also are very open about the fact that they have lived and recovered from mental health experiences themselves, and I think that's the important and valuable difference between a normal counsellor who may have those experiences but it's not part of what they do to announce that,
right,
and people who are willing to sit down and go, hey, I've been through this, I know what it's like.
Mm-hmm. So if people want to buy tickets online, they go on to iTicket?
They go to www.blackdog.shortix.co.nz.
Specifically for the Black Dog Relief?
That's correct.
Just give us that again.
It's blackdog.shortix.co.nz.
And they can buy online.
Absolutely, and there's no booking fee, and the person, Shortix, he's giving, you know, the site for free, and so none of the money from it is going to be taken away.
But
so,
people can pay at the door?
They can. Well, we don't think there are going to be any tickets at the door. We can if there are left, but we'll give that facility if we have, but it's limited tickets. Also on the website, there is a mechanism for people to donate more money to Whariki Haora if they want to donate more than just the ticket money.
Yeah, and, right, and a really, like a very important comparison to make is that every peer support session, 2 tickets for Black Dog Relief will pay for 1 peer support session for someone who needs it. So coming along with your partner or your friend to see Black Dog Relief is actually going to physically give a counselling peer support session to someone who needs it.
Right. Yeah, that's a great translation. Mm. Thanks, Tammy.
Yeah, anything else, Bornie, that you wanted to add before we go to our last track from Supertramp?
Sure. Just one thing, I suppose, in regards to where Whariki Haora is at the moment. It's a pilot thing that we're trialling, but and I say that because so that people understand where we're at. But although it's a pilot thing, it's a conversation that Tammy and I have had for 3 years.
Mm.
If not longer, just to figure out what we're able to do to try and facilitate something that can happen.
Yeah.
So regardless of where Whariki Haora is at the moment, it is something that we hope to travel further.
We want it to grow. And we hope that the fund will, eventually support more things than just one-on-one counselling, because wellbeing is so much larger than that. Mm. But this is a six-month pilot to see how it goes. And it's worth mentioning that it's running alongside a pilot that's also happening predominantly within the music industry to fund phone counselling sessions. So the two industries are working close together to see over the next 6 months which is has a better kind of, financial, stability for people, which is going to be accessed more, which is more valuable for people. Then we'll combine the data from that and see what's the better way forward.
Do you think you would combine the fund? Because we always tend to work in silos a little bit, don't we?
Yeah, it's very difficult at this stage to combine the fund, but that's not necessarily a conversation that needs to stop. We're working very closely with the New Zealand Music Foundation to see how theirs goes, how ours goes, and then what might be the way forward in the future.
Yeah. Sure, I mean, artistic people, they're creative. Often, I think Bornie has said they have sensibilities or sensitivities. That often leads to vulnerability and mental health. What's your sort of personal experience around this?
Well, my personal experience, maybe not with the performing arts industry, but with mental health, there is, on both sides of my family, there's lots of mental health issues with aunties and uncles having, been committed into asylums, etc. Those are the words that used to be used back in the day.
Mm.
Probably not the right words these days. And my uncle, my dad's brother, actually committed suicide and never, got to know him. So I didn't even think about all of these things when I started working on this. They are just kind of naturally gravitated to doing something in the area. And then upon thinking about it, I realized that there must be a reason why I've felt so strongly about it, and then I examined it and remembered all these things that I'd probably blocked out of my memory.
Maybe that's how we get involved in mental health, that we just sort of gradually gravitate to it. And I think that my personal background caused me to, fairly rapidly gravitate to it, I think. But let's...
it's a career out. That chooses you, not the other way around.
Yeah. Exactly.
Let's go out and thank you to our three participants. With a last track from Supertramp, and it's very relevant because it's Give a Little Bit.
Thanks, it's been Sheldon. A pleasure, Sheldon. Thanks.
Thank you, Sheldon.